Matt, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you again for the time. I know you are very close to everything going on with the Kansas City Chiefs, also produce content surrounding them as well. Is Patrick Mahomes, does he have like Wolverine regenerative powers? This guy is a full participant in practice. What's going on with Patrick? He's going to play on Saturday, of course, right?
Yeah, he's going to play on Saturday. Look, I think it kind of got overblown in the sense that I was watching that game when he got hurt against Cleveland. And, you know, they re-taped his ankle. And they spatted it on the sideline there. And if they weren't up by an amount that the Browns just clearly were not going to overcome, he would have come back in the game. I mean, and they even talked about that afterward, that, you know, he was good enough to go, that he would just come right back out there. So I think, you know, once he left and didn't come back, I think a lot of people either who maybe didn't see the game or thought it was a different circumstance felt like, well, you know, he had to leave the game. He was hurt. They couldn't finish with him. I would have been shocked if he didn't play this weekend. He's played through a lot worse. And so, you know, with the one seed on the line, yes, they don't have to win this game. They got to win two of their last three. But this is a game that with Mahomes, you figure that they should win this game. I would have been very surprised if he hadn't played.
Well, Matt, knowing that the Chiefs have gotten by a lot of these games by dinks, dunks, doinks, the skin of their teeth, what is your confidence level in the Kansas City Chiefs as they move on into the playoffs, especially with the surge that the Bills have been on?
I mean, look, if I'm high, because this is what they live for. They live for these games. You know, I've been saying all year long, they deserve criticism. They have not played to their standard, and yet they're 13-1. They are getting a little healthier. You know, they recently got Charles Amenahu back. He's been very good. They're getting back Hollywood Brown. It looks like this weekend, this Saturday. Those guys will help. Amenahu's already helped. I imagine Brown will help. Xavier Worthy's played a lot better the last month. They're really starting to use him in the same way they used Rasheed Rice last year, where Rice was kind of a bit player early, and then the second half of the year really came on. Worthy's the same deal. Right now, the Bills are the better football team. They're not better defensively, but they're better overall. That being said, if they've got to go to Kansas City in the AFC Championship game, I am picking Kansas City to win that game. Because I've seen that movie, and I know how it ends. And my big concern with Buffalo is the coach. You just get into those games with them where you watch that Rams game. You know, they blow a timeout that they desperately needed late in the game. They have nine guys on the field for a punt return. Like, the Chiefs, for all their faults, they don't do stuff like that. And they never do stuff like that in the playoffs. And that's where I think those two teams, it's going to be tight. It's going to be close. Somebody's going to make a big mistake in that game. And it's usually the Bills when those two teams get together.
Matt Verderam is joining us from Sports Illustrated. Having said that, yeah, we've seen that story, how it goes for the Bills in the postseason against the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you think that Josh Allen is going to walk away with the MVP this year, or is that something that's going to be earmarked for Lamar Jackson a third time?
No, I think it's going to be Allen. I think it should be Allen. And that's not to take anything away from the year that Lamar's having, which is ridiculous. I don't even think people realize he's thrown for 34 touchdowns and three picks. He's completing 68% of his passes. He's fifth in the league in passing yardage, and they don't throw the ball nearly as often as just about everybody else. He's averaging almost 9 yards in attempt. I mean, he's been spectacular. So he certainly deserves to be in that conversation, but this is an award that, look, it's part performance, and right or wrong, it's part narrative. And I think people are looking at Allen and saying, you know what? He's never won it. He's having a great year. The Bills are having a year that is outpacing a lot of people's expectations of them going into the season. And so I think all those things are kind of conspiring to work for Allen. And Allen's just been hot as heck down the stretch. I mean, he played, even though they lost, he was phenomenal against the Rams. He was great against the Lions. Those games were not technically national games, but they were. I mean, just about everybody in the country saw those games, even though they're a late window and not prime time. So those things matter. You know, Jackson still had a shot at the one seed, something like that. I'd say, okay, maybe. He does have two primetime games coming up. So there's a world where if he just goes nuts in those two games, maybe he sways public opinion, especially if the Bills blow a tire against New England or the Jets. But I think as long as Allen plays reasonably well in these last three games and the Bills win these games, I think he's the MVP.
Well, Matt, let's go to some teams that aren't in the same type of position. Big news, of course, over the last 24 hours, the Falcons switching over from Kirk Cousins to Michael Penix Jr. Yep. What are your thoughts on the timeline, the time that they did it, and what this means for Kirk Cousins in the future?
Well, look, I get why Atlanta did it. You know, watching Cousins the last handful of weeks here, physically, he can't play. I mean, he cannot drive the football outside the numbers. To the point that the Falcons, basically, if you watch the games against the Chargers, you watch the games against the Raiders, they were just not going to throw the ball unless they had to. You know, the Vikings game, same deal, where they really just, you know, they were thrown out of the game by Cousins. And, you know, they beat the Raiders. It's an ugly game. They won mostly because the Raiders are completely inept. I think if you're Raheem Morris, you're going, all right, look, we're 7-7. We're a game back in Tampa. I might lose the room if I don't go to Penix, because everybody in this room is looking at me going, okay, come on, man. There's no way this guy's best option on his team right now. Now, with that being said, we don't know that. Penix might go out there and be awful, and now you've got no quarterback. Now you've got nothing. Because you can't go back to Cousins. Like, it's done now. It's over. You can't. It's not like Cousins got hurt. So I think what happens going forward is Penix, no matter what he looks like, is going to play the last three games of the season here and then into the playoffs, should they make it. Cousins, if they post June 1 of next year, they eat essentially what his cap hit is, which is $40 million. And then they've got to split it in, you know, and roll it over as well into 2026. It is an enormous amount of money. Look, they are going to lose the benefit of having a rookie quarterback or a rookie contract for a quarterback because they've got to pay Cousins. So it's a calamity. I mean, it's a really bad problem for Atlanta. I think if you're Atlanta, I think you cut him after the season. I think you're supposed to want him to move on. Because, JR, I don't know how do you play Penix next year with Cousins making $40 million on the bench. And you know that if you don't play well, there's going to be all this talk about, well, his cousin's going to come in, he's going to get the job back. I just don't think you can develop a quarterback that way. I think it's a really tough spot.
We know that Cousins is going to get the boot. You don't think there's a possibility of a trade?
I think it's possible. Look, because when you look at the landscape, right? Like, let's just say, for argument's sake here, that the Raiders and Giants are picking 1 and 2, and they take Shador Sanders and they take Cam Ward. Now, we all know that we're sitting here in late December. The big boards are going to look a lot different on April 25th. But this is not deemed to be a very strong quarterback class beyond those two. There are going to be teams that need quarterbacks. We don't know what the Jets are going to do yet with Aaron Rodgers. Tennessee, it's hard to see them running that thing back with Will Levis and Mason Rudolph. I cannot imagine that Brian Callahan is going to do that again. So there are other teams out there, right, that are going to be looking for a quarterback. I think Bryce Young has shown enough that the Panthers are going to roll him into year three. I think the Saints, you probably just stick with Carr for one more year. But there are going to be some teams, you know, the Giants, again, I would, if they can draft one, they will draft one. Otherwise, they're certainly going to be in the market. But Cousins, you know, his base salary, I think next year is 27.5, which is not a ton for a starting quarterback. Is a team going to give up a pick for that deal? Maybe. Maybe you get a team that says, look, we'll give you a late-round pick. I don't think the Falcons are going to get anything of note for him. And I think if you're Cousins, you're probably saying, look, either trade me where I want to go or just cut me. I don't want to go to some team where I don't want to be. And that could make it a sticky situation. I think this could play out a lot like the Russell Wilson thing did, where he gets cut and then eventually goes and signs for a, you know, vet minimum somewhere while Atlanta's paying the freight.
Matt Verderam is here from Sports Illustrated. Well, let's talk about some teams that don't necessarily have that issue right now. They're trying to compete for a championship. They're not thinking about their quarterback. The Eagles have been rolling. The Lions, unfortunately, been dealing with tons of injuries. When the Vikings now got a share of the NFC North. When you take a look at the NFC, what are your thoughts on who has the best chances of emerging?
It's a great question. By the way, speaking of the Vikings, Darnold's going to be the most fascinating quarterback situation this offseason. Because that is going to be, I mean, he's played great. Like, what do you do if you're Minnesota? What do you do? I mean,
gotta keep him
for another day.
Well, we'll find out over the next couple of weeks and month. But I mean, if he continues half of what he's done, you gotta keep him.
I'm with you. I'm totally with you. I mean, but it's going to be fascinating what Minnesota does with that whole situation. But no, look, in the NFC, I think the NFC is a lot more open than the AFC in the sense that I look at the AFC. I know everybody could disagree, you know, whatever. I think it's Buffalo and Kansas City. I think one of those two teams is in the Super Bowl. Yeah. And it's going to be those two in the AFC title game, and they're going to battle to the death for 3 hours, and we'll see who wins. In the NFC, you know, Detroit had such a hammerlock on this thing, but now, of course, because of the injuries, you'll look at them and go, man, if they're going to get there, they're going to have to outscore everybody. And they're going to have to score 38, 42 points in all likelihood in some of these games to win. Tampa, to me, is a real live dog. They're an interesting team. You know, with Todd Bowles, they're well-coached on the defensive side. Mayfield's having a terrific year. If I had an MVP ballot, and he would be in the top five. He wouldn't win it, but he'd be in the top five. You know, then you'll get, like, the Rams get in. I don't think the Rams can get to the Super Bowl because of that back seven defensively. But, boy, I'll tell you, I wouldn't want to see them come in. Like, if I'm the Eagles, I don't want to see that team in Philadelphia. They're just one of those teams that can have a day that's for 40. I think the Eagles are the best team because of the injuries to Detroit. Otherwise, I would have said the Lions. But well, the question's going to be for me, too, in the NFC. Can the Eagles get to the one seed? Or does that go to whoever ends up winning in the North? And to that point, that's where the Vikings are interesting. If Minnesota wins out, they're the number one seed in the conference. They don't need any help because they played Detroit in Week 18. You know, I think the Packers, kind of like the Rams, kind of like the Bucks. I don't think they can get to the Super Bowl. I think they can win a game or two. I think you're looking at Philly, Detroit, and if Minnesota were ever to somehow not be the wild card and win that division, Minnesota's really good. I think Minnesota's a lot better than people think they are just because it's like, oh, it's Darnold, it's the Vikings. That team has been very, very consistent all year long, beating a lot of good teams.
Yeah, man, they have a great head coach in Kevin O'Connell as well. If I hit the fast forward button just a little bit, just last week, and just seems like a matter of time, we saw Bill Belichick become the head coach of North Carolina. There have been small rumors about where Mike Vrabel might end up in the offseason. Doug Peterson doesn't look long for the Jacksonville Jaguars. What openings should we expect, and who and what are some names that might plug them?
Well, look, I think Vrabel's a real interesting name to watch. You know, the Bears are a team. Obviously, they have an opening. I think the Bears are a team that, you know, Mike Vrabel, he's going to be high on their list. Ben Johnson is going to be high on everybody's list. I think you wonder, does Jacksonville, where I agree Peterson's not going to be long for that job, do they pry Ben Johnson away? You know, they're a team that they're willing to spend money, and they've got a quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, who a lot of people in the league look at and say he's a depressed asset. He's going to be really good once he gets in the right system and has the right coach. Now, that's a matter of opinion, but I wonder if Ben Johnson looks at that job and really likes it. You look at some other teams around the league. I think the Raiders are going to move off of Pierce.
Oh, yeah. And
they're an interesting team for Vrabel because you got the connection of Brady there.
Now,
right?
Tom Brady making a decision? Like, we know it's not all his money now, but he's leading the ship. Am I safe to assume that?
Let's put it this way, JR. He's got a prominent voice there. And Mark Davis is going to listen to Tom Brady's thoughts on the coach and the quarterback. And if he doesn't, he's insane. But I think you're going to have a job opening. The Jets, see, now the Jets are a problem in the sense people are going to overvalue the Jets' job because people are going to say they got talent on that roster and they're in New York. Woody Johnson is toxic for a lot of people. Oh, yeah. They just don't want to go there. And so the Jets are going to have to really sell stability. And you're bringing in a whole new, I mean, that's a new front office, all maybe a new quarterback. But the Jets are going to have an opening, obviously. The Raiders, I think, will have one. The Saints, of course, have one. The Saints have the problem, too, of, like, you're just in cap hell in New Orleans. It's very difficult to sell that. I think the most attractive jobs are going to be Jacksonville, Chicago to an extent. But you do worry about Kevin Warren being there, and is he really pulling the strings with polls? But there's going to be a lot of – I would say it's probably going to be eight. I mean, it's probably going to be a good, solid eight. The Cowboys are another one you'll look at, and there'll be probably an opening there. So that's always an attractive job with Dak and everybody else. So, look, I think there's going to be a lot of openings, and I think you're going to get a decent amount of first-time head coaches as well.
Hey, Matt, final question for you. We know Well, one of these guys, we won't see too much more of him. You talked about the Bears looking for a new head coach. Caleb Williams, a good first rookie year, not turning the ball over. But we know it's going to boil down to both Knicks and Daniels, so we will likely see both of them in a postseason. Who are you favoring for rookie of the year? I'd give it to Daniels. What say you?
Yeah, I'd give it to Daniels. I think Knicks, to his credit, has massively surpassed most people's expectations. But I think Knicks, while he's played well, I don't want to take any away from him, I think it's a little bit of, hey, look, you know, color inside the lines. Like, play the Sean Payton offense. Don't make a big mistake. Like, there have been a lot of games this year where Knicks has done absolutely nothing. And they've won because they play great defensive football, and he's made, like, two throws. Daniels, to me, is a driving force of that team. They're winning games because of Jaden Daniels. Like, Jaden Daniels could go into the playoffs and win them a game because he just goes berserk and he runs for 75 yards and throws for 275 and has four total touchdowns. I don't know that there's a world where the Broncos win a playoff game because of Bo Nix. Whereas I think Washington could win a playoff game, and you look at it and go, yeah, they won the game because of Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. We know Bo Nix, exactly what you just said. Nobody expected to see the Broncos in the postseason, and I guess Sean Payton has a feather in his cap. He can stop insulting some of the other people across the league right now. Hey, Matt,
yeah.
thank you so much for the time. Where can people follow you and all of your work with SI and then elsewhere, especially with the Chiefs?
Yeah, I mean, national coverage, I'm national for SI, so over on SI Now and SI.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Matt Verderam. And yeah, if you're a Chiefs fan, I've made my bones kind of covering them coming up. So you can go, I have a podcast, just the Matt Verderam Show on Patreon, and go check it out. But yeah, all things NFL, you can find me all over the place.
Always a pleasure chatting with you, Matt. You take it easy, okay?
Hey, you too. Happy holidays.